Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news, interviews from the biggest names in the industry, and game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll. Here's your host, the man with the best beard in Daily Fantasy, Crazy Gaby.
Hello there! As the voice said, I am Crazy Gaby, going at it solo this morning because, at least for the time being, I'm all by myself. That's not going to be the case for very long. I have a very special guest here with me in just a moment. Going to be actually learning the ins and outs of daily fantasy hockey. Going to be playing the idiot because I don't really know what's going on anyways. And I've got a murderer's row of questions to ask our guest, Paul Arrington from FantasyAces.com. Goes by Boggs Light at RotoGrinders and on Twitter, of course. So we will talk with him in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I want to remind everybody about the wonderful site called FanDuel.com. They are, of course, our sponsor. We appreciate everything they do for us here at RotoGrinders, especially with this podcast. We love the fact that they are the sponsor. And we also love the fact that they are offering up the World Fantasy Basketball Championship. There's $1 million in total prizes. $100,000 to first place. This is a live South Beach. I was about to say Las Vegas because Las Vegas is kind of always on the brain. This one actually in South Beach. So, listen, maybe you're that kind of guy who's like, I don't want my life to end up like The Hangover. I'm not a huge fan of, going out to Vegas and, you know, getting divorced because of whatever happened out there. Here's a chance, South Beach. Take the wife along, try to qualify for the World Fantasy Basketball Championship, and you will get I'm not going to say all expenses paid, but you're going to get your airfare paid. They're going to send you out to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in sizzling South Beach, and you will have a chance to play for that $100,000 first place prize. Starting on Friday, you'll get a chance to qualify for that bad boy again, and they have qualifiers ranging all the way from $2 up to $100. Make sure you are trying to enter the World Fantasy Basketball Championship at FanDuel.com. All right, folks, as promised, something very cool for us here today on the podcast. I figured a lot of you might be like me. You might be a basketball fan, and when it comes to the NHL, you're kind of an idiot. That's what I am, at least, and I figured you might have some of the same questions if you were thinking of getting into NHL DFS that I might have. So, I'm bringing on Paul Arrington, website manager and, by his own words, wearer of many hats at FantasyAces.com. He's also one of our NHL experts here at RotoGrinders. You can follow him on Twitter at Boggs Light. Boggs, how's it going, my man?
I'm doing pretty well, Gaby. How's it going for you?
Not too shabby. Just got my daughter some breakfast, got some coffee in my cup here, and I am ready to rock and roll for the day. It's been a little weird with no basketball, but I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yep, it's never a better time to get involved in some hockey.
Absolutely, my friend. That's, of course, why we have you here. And so the first question, and forgive me if this is a little broad, but I just kind of want to know, when you sit down at your desk to get started for your fantasy hockey research. I know for me, I'm looking at over-unders for, you know, the NBA games. I'm looking at who might be injured, who's a good injury fill-in, that sort of thing. What's kind of the first big picture thing you like to take a look at when you're doing your NHL research?
For me personally, I scour the various sites and I look for value players. I look for guys that may have been, you know, bumped up to the top power play unit, or a defenseman that's getting that opportunity that's pretty cheap, because, you know, when you're playing a sport like hockey where you're going after the matchups, you're playing the matchups, you're going to have to find some value guys here or there, guys where, you know, maybe they might be a more of a GPP guy because they're not so consistent, or, you know, consistently guys that may have just haven't been scoring as much lately, which has driven down their price. And finding those guys in a good matchup, that's probably where I start. You know, obviously injuries, that other type of news kind of falls into that. But for the most part, you know, these guys are hockey players. They're the toughest guys, of any sport. And you don't have to worry about that too much.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that because all of the hockey fans that I've talked to, I don't want to say it's a huge chip on their shoulder, but it's kind of a badge of pride that all the hockey fans wear and people have played hockey and say, like, you know, oh, that guy is sitting out with the flu. That guy's ankle. Let me tell you what, my favorite hockey player, he had his arm amputated and he showed up to play the game later that night. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it's a tough sport. Those guys, they're very prideful. But yeah, it's, you know, you're never going to see a guy sitting out with the flu like we do so often in a sport like NBA, but, I guess I digress there a bit.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like, this is your sounding board. This is your time. And, I gotta say that you are not alone. Everyone I've talked to has felt that same way. Now you mentioned top power play unit. Listen, I'm an NHL idiot. Maybe I don't know what a power play is. Maybe I don't know why that's important. Could you kind of go through the thought process of why you're looking to pick guys on the top power play unit?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, it's pretty much as simple as it sounds. When an opposing team takes a penalty, you know, the guys on your team are going to be on a man advantage. They're going to have a better opportunity to score, in which case, you know, targeting guys that are on that top power play unit increase their potential more so than, you know, a guy that is on the third or fourth line at even strength and doesn't receive any of those top power play minutes. You know, you do kind of need to do some research because some teams and, you know, following our shows, you know, we try and lay that out as simple as possible, that some teams, they like to stack up their whole top power play unit. You'll have a guy like Alex Ovechkin who will be out there for the entire 2 minutes of a penalty, whereas other teams, you know, they kind of balance out their top power play unit, which in some ways hinders their value. But regardless, penalties are going to happen in every game, and taking guys on that power play increases your opportunity to get some easier points than they normally would come. Assumed at even strength.
Okay, cool. Very good to know. And a second question I kind of had from the first answer that you gave was, you said you look for good matchups. Is it as simple as it is in NBA where you're just basically letting the Vegas odds kind of guide you and show you what the good matchups are?
I would say for the most part, that's a good place that you can start. One thing that, you know, you do have to always understand with those Vegas odds is, you know, they want equal action on both sides. So, oftentimes you'll have some teams that, say like a Toronto Maple Leafs that probably, you know, get an increased bump in their, odds in their favor simply just because they're a well-known team. A lot of people bet on them. But regardless, like I said, it's for the most part, it's a good place to start. Looking at the odds today, and speaking of Toronto, I actually think a team like Florida is a team we're going to be targeting, not because of the Vegas odds, but because they're simply a better team than Toronto is, pretty much have been for the most part in this season. And, they're kind of a team that flies under the radar, especially for DFS purposes. So that's an example of which, you know, the Vegas odds, I don't necessarily agree with them. But either way, for the most part, you see, like the Sabres, they're usually dogs every single night. And it's because this team is an historically bad team. They're a team you, in most cases, like to stack up against. So Vegas odds, they're definitely in there, but, you know, I look at the numbers more so than the odds dictate the matchups that I'm going to be trying to target on any given night.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, the Vegas odds are a good place to start, but really it comes down to experience. You kind of got to get in, get your hands dirty in the NHL, and you start to get a feel for, you know, which matchups just – you kind of know which teams are better than others and which teams are just going to have an advantage when it comes to scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same can be said for any DFS sport. But, hockey, for me, it's a sport that correlates, very closely with a sport like baseball, where I want to watch as many games as possible. There's a lot of variance in both sports. It's similar in the fact that, you know, your goalie is like your starting pitcher. It's the most important aspect of your team, the most consistent way to get the most points. But unlike baseball, a sport like hockey, stacking is encouraged. The league, the way the scoring works, it's not like basketball. These guys, the last two people to touch the puck before a goal get an assist. So those are points, and that's helping your team. They pretty much hand out assists like candy in the NHL. But yeah, so you really, the one thing I guess I want to drive home on is that, you know, you can't, and I want to stress this, there's no expected dollar to point ratio like there is in a sport like basketball,
gotcha.
Something you're familiar with. You pick your players based on their potential. It could be zero. Everyone's floor is zero, or in some cases, on some sides, negative points, or up to, 15, 20 points we've seen. It's really wild. There's no target number to cash in 50-50s or double-ups. And I always tell people, I've won GPPs with as little as 20 points all the way up to close to 100 on some sites. So it's just really based on playing the matchups. You pick your players based on their potential. And, you hope you pick them in the good spots, and hopefully they come through for you.
So, like you said, it's kind of like baseball in the sense that the scores to cash and win GPPs are going to be all over the place, whereas football is a little more consistent, basketball extremely consistent. So I'm glad you touched on goalie being a little bit like starting pitcher, because that's actually my next question. I actually have it written down right here. You and I didn't talk beforehand, so just to kind of put a cap on that thought, what's like a strategy you look for with goalie? Because I've heard some of your guys' shows before, and I've talked with Duger, of course, one of our NHL experts as well. He's a good friend of mine, and he said sometimes he won't take the quote-unquote chalk goalie who's got huge Vegas odds in his favor just because he's worried there's not going to be enough saves coming his way to give him extra points. Is that something you think about?
It definitely is. And a perfect example of that is actually in tonight's game. You've got Buffalo at New Jersey. Vegas has New Jersey pegged as huge favorites, but, these are two terrible teams that don't shoot the puck a lot. So paying up for a goalie just because he's the biggest favorite of the night isn't always the best strategy. I'll never fault anyone for doing that in cash games. But, normally when you have a goalie in a good matchup, if you're paying, top dollar for him, you want him to at least get, 25, 30 saves. Because otherwise, if he gives up a goal, he's really got to get a shutout in order to, pay off his steep price tag. So you get, that's when we play the matchups. But especially for tournament play, you kind of need a goalie that is going to get those saves, because those saves, they add up real quick. And if your goalie doesn't get a shutout and he's going up against Buffalo and he's only facing 20 shots max, it can really severely limit the potential for your team.
And that kind of reminds me, again, taking it back to the starting pitcher comparison, of the guys who just eat innings, but they don't really rack up any strikeouts, and they're going to give up like between 2 and 4 earned runs over the course of 6 or 7 innings. They're going to get the win, but is that really who you want anchoring your team? Is it really worth investing the points in? So I think that's a great analogy, and that'll be something that I'll be looking out for as I build my teams moving towards the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a great analogy.
So I want to ask you a little bit about cash game plays. If we're tossing in some head-to-heads or some 50-50s, how should we specifically be picking our players for those types of games?
Well, it really depends on the site. That reminds me of another thing I wanted to bring up. You got to know the scoring of the site you're playing on. Some sites factor in plus minus. Some do not. Some value shots higher than others. Fantasy Aces, it's a really, general, it kind of factors in all of that. But regardless, if you're playing on a site that does factor in plus minus, you always got to have that in the back of your mind. Because if you stack up a team, especially three or, more than two players for your cash games, they can really severely burn you if there's a few goals scored against them at even strength. So that's just one thing I wanted to you know, point out there. But in terms of cash games, my strategy is pretty simple. Depending on how many, it really depends on the slate. If there's, you know, 9 to 12 games, then I try and get bits and pieces from multiple teams, unless there's one team that clearly stands out, like, say, like a New York Islanders against Buffalo, in which case you want to get as much exposure to the Islanders as you can, because they're a team that is going to dominate that entire game and has a really good potential to score a bunch of goals. But for me, you know, it's usually two players from each team. You know, an example of two guys that I'm going to try and start when I can't cash games with tonight from St. Louis are Alexander Steen and Vladimir Tarasenko. The reason I like taking those guys is because both of them skate at different lines at even strength. Tarasenko's on the second line, Steen's on the first line. So you're getting exposure to the multiple lines for most of the game, but also those two guys are on the top power play unit. In which case they've been extremely successful this season. So that's, you know, one way to look at it. If a team's it really also depends on the rest of the teams that are scattered throughout the league. You got a team like Pittsburgh that has a potent power play, multiple lines that can score. But then you can look at a team like, Philadelphia that is going tonight that really is getting all the production from one line. In which case you've got Jakub Voracek, Claude Giroux. Those are the guys that, you know, I'd be targeting if I'm taking guys from Philadelphia. So it really kind of depends on the team. And again, it kind of goes back to, you know, getting more involved, watching the games, getting an understanding of, you know, how the games are played, because there's no right or wrong way. I mean, all these guys have different coaching systems. All these teams are unique in their own ways. It's just really kind of finding, you know, putting yourself and your players in the best position to, you know, go off and you know, be productive for you.
So when you were talking about Steen and Tarasenko, talking about how they were on two different lines, and because both lines were capable of scoring, you really liked them in your cash games because you get exposure to both of those lines. Does that kind of go back to the concept of the hockey assist as well? Whereas you have a really good chance that, like, one of those two lines is going to go off, and you got a really good chance of either getting the goals or multiple assists from these guys.
Well, yeah, and you know, even on top of that, you know, you're obviously hoping one line, you hope both lines go off, but at the same time, because these guys have two lines that are very capable at scoring and even strength, you want to, you know, increase your exposure to both of those lines without having to sacrifice any of those top power play minutes, which is another key aspect of, you know, what we talked about to kind of tie it all together.
Awesome. I'm writing this down actually as you talk, so I can so I can use it for my research this evening. I also want to, at this moment, take a chance to kind of give you one of the hats you wear at Fantasy Aces, give you a shout-out for that. You are the keeper of the fantasy and the creator of the fantasy hockey product at Fantasy Aces. That's correct, right?
Yeah, okay. And it's been going really well. You know, especially, you know, this week we've had the luxury of, you know, bumping up the tournaments for the players. There seems to be a lot of action. Everyone's really loving it. And, you know, I'm having a blast. You know, working over there with those guys, Trent, Brian, the guys at Fantasy Aces. You know, we're really making a push, and obviously I know that basketball is your forte, and it's been extremely successful for us over there. But, you know, I'm hoping that hockey can, you know, stay strong throughout the rest of this season and, you know, kind of carry that momentum into baseball season and into next hockey season.
Yeah, and I've loved working with you guys for the fantasy basketball season. It's Fantasy Aces has quickly become one of my favorite sites to play on. I cannot wait until this Friday. The fact that there wasn't a big Fantasy Aces basketball championship qualifier on Friday for me to play in last week, it's always kind of one of the highlights of my week. So I'm itching. Got a couple of tickets and I'm ready to go full force this Friday, of course, for the Fantasy Aces basketball championship qualifier. A couple other questions I wanted to ask you here before I let you go for the day. We talked about cash game plays there. Now, what about if I'm going you know, deep into tournaments. Let's say I've got three or four different entries. I want to maybe attack it from a couple of different angles. Could you give me some overall tournament strategy, and then could you maybe give me a tip or two about going contrarian?
Sure. You know, my tournament strategy, it's very similar. I'm always trying to keep it as simple as possible. But unlike my cash games, when I said I was going to be on two guys from different lines, my tournament strategy is to load up on that one line and hope that they go off. You know, for three or more goals is you know, something that you would like to see, whereby, you know, all three goals are coming from one of those three guys and they're all assisting each other on those goals. So instead of taking a Steen and a Tarasenko in a tournament tonight, you would look to take a Steen with TJ Oshie and David Backes, who are his line mates. Up there on St. Louis's top line, that entire first line, or at least two guys from the same line, is the strategy I like to employ. But going contrarian, you know, it's really just the same strategy, but targeting players that people won't be highly on in tournaments. You know, for that, like, you can look at a game like Washington at Pittsburgh tonight. You got Alex Ovechkin and the rest of that top line that's been very productive with Nicklas Backstrom. But going into Pittsburgh, it's a tough matchup. And, you know, it's a situation where I don't think a lot of people are going to want to pay up for an Alex Ovechkin tonight. So I think you'll see him a little bit, you know, lower owned than you normally would. But, you know, I think, oftentimes in these smaller big size tournaments, you'll see a potpourri of hodgepodge of different players. There's really no, it didn't look like these guys put a whole lot of strategy into it. But if you consistently, if you want to win in tournaments, you follow a strategy, you stack up a whole line, and you, like I said, you hope those guys come through for you. But that's pretty much the gist of my tournament strategy.
So if anyone ever stacks the Sabres and they go off, is that just the default tournament winner?
Well, you see, that's the thing. You know, there's not just scoring in one game. There's scoring throughout the rest of the league, but those guys can be had for cheap. So if you get the, you know, another team that you stacked up, you know, correct, that can pay off. But really, I'm not on Buffalo. This team is as bad as everyone says it is. The one thing that I will say, though, is if their goalies are able to stand on their head and somehow get a win, then that's how you can perhaps be contrarian. I would say don't do that tonight, because you're likely going to see St. Louis have more shots on goal than both teams in Buffalo, New Jersey tonight. But, yeah, so if a team's going to see 40 shots and a goalie, you know, going back to that, it stands on its head, that's the term we use, and is able to, you know, somehow squeak away with a win, especially a shutout, those are the guys that I'll carry to the top. That's how you beat contrarian.
Now, real quick, you mentioned taking, like, all three guys on a line if you were trying to put a tournament lineup, as opposed to one guy from the first line, one guy from the second line. If you're really convinced in a matchup, would you ever go two guys from a first line, two guys from a second line?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, or on the flip side of that argument, you could, take defensemen if the defensemen are productive on their team. There's, you know, the defensemen, obviously, their first job is to play defense, but there are a lot of guys throughout the league that have a knack for scoring. That's what we can call them, offensive-minded defensemen. And, you know, they're capable of going off as well. Oftentimes, you'll see some of these teams that have a defensive pairing that will allow you to get exposure to, you know, more of the game, since the defensemen are on the ice more often than the forwards, and at the same time have the potential to go off and get those top power play units of minutes as well. But yes, definitely, you know, I prefer to use that strategy if a team doesn't have a defenseman that I'm, you know, confident is in a good spot or a good matchup. But like you said, you know, you got to be very confident that team's going to come through for you, and especially both of those top two lines that you're looking to stack. because otherwise if the team only scores three goals, it's likely not going to carry you to the top of the GPP.
And last question, I promise. You mentioned Alexander Ovechkin as being a decent play tonight. Now, I think I remember hearing you in a conversation at some point over the past couple of months where you talked about how Ovechkin was very playable on one side in particular and not very playable on another side. Was that you that was talking about that?
It might have been. Just full disclosure, I'm probably not going to be too high on Ovechkin. I don't think he's in necessarily a great spot tonight. Okay. I just said this is a guy that always has the potential to go off, and is a guy that, you know, has a relatively high floor depending on what site you're playing on, because he's at times a guy that can really hurt you in the plus-minus department.
No defense?
Yes, exactly. Okay. But at the same time, this is a guy that is, you know, over the last month and a half or so here, has been averaging close to 10 shot attempts per game. So, you know, the guy wants to do one thing, and it's score the puck. When you can have an opportunity to get a guy like Ovechkin with this extreme amount of potential and him being, you know, less than 10% owned, per se, then, you know, you might have yourself an interesting opportunity in a GPP. But, yeah, for me, I just wanted to clarify. I'm not going to be too high on
Ovechkin.
He's
in all my lineups, Boggs. I'm not taking him out, and I'm sending you the bill at the end of the night. So just to wrap that all up then, guy like Ovechkin, maybe not as appealing on a site like FanDuel where his bad defense comes into play, but a great play on a site like DraftKings maybe where the plus-minus, not a factor.
Absolutely.
Okay. Very cool. And we got to give you a shout-out again, fantasyaces.com. You are the fantasy hockey wearer of all hats over there. You are the website manager. Of course, you can catch Boggs throughout the week on our Grinders Live hockey shows. He writes the daily plays from time to time, and you can follow him at BoggsLight on Twitter. Paul, thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
No problem, Gabe. Thanks for having me.
Cool, man. Take care. Thank you all very much for listening to the podcast this, well, could be morning, could be afternoon, hell, could be a couple days from now. This is going to be a good one, so you should definitely keep this one archived for later use. Appreciate all of you. Make sure you head over to rotogrinders.com, check out some of the awesome content we have on site, including Fantasy Hockey Plays, kind of a great 1-2 punch this podcast, some fantasy hockey plays, get your ass in some contests today, and also make sure you check out some of the action at FanDuel.com, especially that World Fantasy Basketball Championship Jazz once the NBA rejoins us again on Friday. Take care, everyone. Peace.